Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' overtime loss to the Jets 23-17 in just a moment, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, it's been a similar story throughout the season where the 49ers seem to get off to a decent start. And in this game against the Jets, they got off to a great start. They're up 14-0. They look like world beaters. Kaepernick was 7-for-7 in the first quarter, just looking great. And then things turn and they give up the lead late in the fourth quarter. They lose in overtime to the Jets, one of the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, how does this happen to this team all year? Because it just seems like you could get confident with the way they're playing. They're putting up points and they're you know, gaining yardage, and they have Hyde running the ball so well, and then it just totally turns where they can't get it going. No offense, really, from the second half, third quarter on.
You're right. No offense in the second half, especially in the third quarter. And really, I mean, the whole second half. First half, terrific. I mean, Carlos looks really good, honestly. I mean, he's quick, he's fast, he's running hard. I mean, he really looked good. I mean, and he has all year, really. I mean, he's offensively, he's been the one bright spot. I don't know what happens. I keep thinking about, what do they talk about at halftime? Do they make adjustments? Do they not? You know, they play well in the first half. I mean, 16-3 lead at halftime. And then there's a total letdown. I mean, coming out at half. And they just keep finding a way to lose as opposed to finding a way to win. Man, that's the bottom line, and that's the difference between, honestly, in the NFL, is the difference between winning games and losing games. I mean, it usually happens somewhere late in the fourth quarter, and this time I've got to put it on Chip. I mean, fourth and one in overtime. Fourth and two, whatever it was, and you run the ball at the middle.
Yeah, that got stuffed. I mean, with a different offensive line, because now you don't have Daniel Kilgore anymore. He got hurt.
Yeah, but
Staley didn't play at all. But yeah, I mean, it's
so
different.
Initially, I'm like, seriously, you know, put Cap out in space with the ball in his hand, you know, with a run pass option.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So then I'm thinking about it on the way home, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Is Chip lacking that much confidence in Cap that he doesn't put him out there? Like, you know what I mean? Doesn't put the ball in his hand?
No, I know. Same thing, even just second half. They were so conservative, and Chip Kelly did admit that in the newspaper the next day. And I was thinking the same thing watching the game. Like, what happened in the second half? They're just kind of sitting on this lead, and they're just way too conservative.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't have confidence in Cap, then play Blaine.
Yeah, have confidence in your quarterback, whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah.
and you have nothing to lose when you're now one and twelve.
Yeah, at zero. Yeah, I mean zero to lose. And I thought that the move, I mean, to go for on fourth and one there in that situation, perfect. I mean,
yeah,
you have nothing to lose at that point.
Right, you're not going to kick a 55-yard field goal or whatever it was.
You're not going to kick a 55-yard field goal. You have the ball first. So if you don't score, and the other team scores, the Jets score, game's over.
Yeah.
So I agreed with the going with it, going for it. You got to. Give me at least two options.
There was another play too in the fourth quarter, Steve, where I think it was 3rd and 17, and they throw that little pass to Drone, and it went nowhere. I mean, it's 3rd and 17. I understand sometimes a back is going to break it, but aren't you looking for your receivers in that situation?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're looking to pump one into somebody, and it's in a 3rd and 17. It's not necessarily a ball that's thrown deep down the field. You know, not even an intermediate throw. A lot of times, it's a something quick. Give it to a receiver on a slant. You know, where he's has a full head of steam. And you hit him in stride and hope that he can get it, you know, that he can break one tackle and get a first down.
Right.
You know, I say, give me 200 jet X slant. I'll take it every time.
those slant routes are big. I mean, for quarterbacks, yeah.
But no, you're right. And you know, in looking at the stats, statistically pretty darn good. I was going to go right to quarterback stats. Cap, I mean, 15 for 26, pretty good.
He started 7 for 7. And then
exactly.
Same kind of thing like with the Patriots game where
he started misfiring.
So yeah.
But even still, okay, 15 for 26, but no interceptions. Niners, no turnovers at all. One turnover in the whole game between two not-so-good teams. But only 116 yards passing. I mean, again, you know, those are – I mean, that's not so much on the quarterback. That's on the receivers, and we've talked about that.
Yeah.
You know.
And especially in crunch time. I mean, you know, they had the yardage first half, but when they needed those big plays, they need a first down. They just can't get it.
They can't make them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one big drop. I'm going to call it a big drop by Bell, third quarter, kind of a medium crossing route.
Yeah.
Cap hits him right in the hand.
And he dropped
hands
it.
Hands are backwards, drops it. But there's like one of those every game that, you know, that can keep a drive going and you know, keeping a drive going throws me back to the stats again. And again, 2 for 13 if you include 0 for 1 on fourth down.
Yeah, yeah, so that's terrible.
Can't maintain a drive, and because you can't play keep away with the ball, the Jets end up running 81 plays, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was 81 plays and a lot more time in possession.
55.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not, that goes back to, it's not that type of an offense. You can't run the ball with 4 minutes to go and a lead and run the clock out.
No.
When everybody in the stadium knows you have to run it, the other team knows you have to run it. And you can still run it, but you can't in this offense.
No. And Hyde's a good running back, no doubt. I mean, that
no
was a
question.
Fun game to watch.
He's been he's been really fun to watch. I really like the way that he's getting to the edge and turning it upfield. He looks way better than he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what you're looking for. I mean, I think you're thinking about the future, and that's just no question. You feel comfortable about him being your running back, and you're confident. But when I think about receivers, I just don't see who the go-to receivers are. There's no more Bolden, no more Crabtree. So, you know, Curley has kind of been, you know, the guy statistically. Torrey Smith, you know, very disappointing, and I'm sorry he got hurt, but they never even look at him. And Patton, I can't really figure out. I mean, every once in a while he makes an exciting play,
right.
But I don't know that he gets open enough or that they really trust him enough.
Right. Again, when they have to get open, they get manhandled just because of their physical stature.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 250 yards rushing, you know, 116 yards passing, but again, when you at that critical point when you have to make a play to win the game, you just can't do it.
No, this is where they really miss Bolden.
They haven't done it.
Because he was just great at that. He's a strong receiver. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he finds ways to get open, and you can hit him for 11 yards when you need 11 yards, basically.
Right. Yeah, that one was like the Miami one, just so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because they played well.
They did play well. And even on the defensive side, I mean, there's definitely a major plus, and you look forward with rookie DeForest Buckner. That guy had a great game. He was everywhere. He had a couple of sacks. He was hitting the quarterback. I mean, yeah, that was definitely his best game, I thought.
No question. They talked quite a bit about him on the broadcast. They're just watching it again last night. They're just not defensively. They're just not disciplined. I mean, I was watching the linebackers more than anybody. They're just biting on things and running up into holes into gaps that doesn't look like they're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
But just on the other side of that, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Number 51.
Oh, Hodges.
Hodges, I thought played well. Also.
He did have a good game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean he seemed out of position a few times when I was watching it, but yet he has the athleticism and the speed to make a play.
It's about the consistency, because you look at early in the game. I mean, right off the bat, Jimmy Ward, that was just a great play where he steps in front, makes that interception. He knew that he had help behind him. I know Trent Green pointed that out. When you have a safety help, you can take a chance like that.
Right.
Made that interception. But then later in the game, on that big first down that Bryce Petty was able to get, he looked like he was going to run, and Ward bit on that, and then he left a receiver open and ended up being a first down for the Jets, a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just not consistent, and I'm gonna put some of that on the coaches that they haven't been able to fix that. I mean, that's not just been one or two games; that's been every game.
I know. Other things, we've talked about penalties being a problem. That wasn't the case this time. But how about here's a play that kind of I thought was emblematic of the season, was Jaquaski Tartt, who I like. You know, he's filling in here right now for Eric Reed, but you know the play I'm getting to.
Goes to make the interception.
Goes to make the interception. Doesn't just step in front of the guy and make the pick. Instead, I think it was Anunua who made that really great catch. But
stuck his hand out. Basically, stuck his hand out and took the interception away and made the catch.
I know you can't allow that to happen. You just can't.
Yeah.
You got to be strong enough to step right in front and make the pick, right? I mean, I was surprised.
Yeah, and they reran that play several times
because they thought
it was intercepted.
Yeah, when you're watching it in the stands, it's like, okay, that's intercepted, and he's going to go a long way. He might be a pick six, and then it's a catch. Wait a minute, what happened right there?
Yeah,
yeah, it was just crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, even
that's true.
Yeah,
even that you're right about it being emblematic of of the season. You know, we're right there, but we can't get over the line.
No.
You know?
I mean, even a veteran guy like Bethea, who's generally good, there was one, I don't remember, it might have been Anderson, who really had a good game as receiver for the Jets, had 99 yards. But he looked like, it looked like Bethea had an angle on an interception, or at least knocking it away. And the next thing you know, he's behind the receiver. And then Anderson just steps in front of him. And now that I think about it, it was Anderson. He just makes a nice catch. But if you're the defender there, how do you not step in front of him? You know, I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's as I said, frustrating. Really frustrating.
It is. And we talked about it last week, Steve, that people like to blame the quarterback, but he's had his ups and downs, no doubt. But you can't blame the quarterback for being 1-12 right now, I don't think.
No. There's way more problems. I mean, way more problems than Cap.
Yeah.
Way more. Yeah. I mean, it's – There's a little bit of everybody in there right now. You know, everybody taking their turns, making mistakes.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Well, now it falls on, you know, ownership, coaching, and all that. And CBSSports.com has already had a report out about Trent Baalke being out as a general manager. That's no surprise. But
you know what
kind of did surprise me a little bit? I don't know. Maybe you've heard about this, but in the report, Denise and John York taking control or more control of the team instead of Jed. And I don't see that happening. I don't know. That was in this report.
But I could see. Denise, definitely not. I could see John pushing a few more buttons. I saw him after the game, and I think he saw that it was me, but he didn't want to talk to anybody. I mean, you just could tell by the look on his face, by his mannerism.
So disappointed, yeah.
Yeah, so I could see that a little bit more. The rumor that I kept hearing and heard it, if I heard it once, I heard it 10 times, and it was, I think they said it was on Bleacher Report, was that Jed had been talking to Shanahan.
That was the other, another report, yeah, CBSSports.com and maybe Bleacher Report.
Yeah
Mike Shanahan, his name came up before, you know, he was interviewed before, so.
Yeah. I don't know what capacity they're talking about. Obviously, he knows the game. He's been around it for a long time.
Yeah.
Because that would help.
Yeah, I can't see them getting rid of Chip Kelly after 1 year. I just can't see it happening.
No, I don't think. I thought that he would go back to Oregon, but now that Oregon's hired a coach, my theory has changed. I think Chip stays. I think Trent's out. I mean, somebody's got to be the fall guy, and
yeah,
he's next in line. I think now Shanahan. Yeah, if they're talking to Shanahan, he could be the wild card. But I think Prague probably gets what he wants, and that's to be the general manager. And then Tommy Gamble stays as personnel director, but he's the one. You know, he'll be the one making the call.
Calling the shots.
Personnel, because he's buddies with Chip.
Right. Yeah, and then a lot of people have been talking about that. So maybe that happens. I wonder what it's like as a player. I don't know how often you were in this situation, Steve, but, because it's disconcerting. I mean, even the Jets, they're wondering about Todd Bowles, even though he's only been there 2 years. Or let's say even, you know, the Bills, there was a report about Rex Ryan going down as the coach there. When you're playing in these last three games of the year, and people are talking about all these changes as a player, that's got to be disconcerting.
Yeah, it's very disconcerting because you start looking over your shoulder like, oh, shoot, you know, if the general manager's gone, then that means, you know, a lot of times that means everybody below him is gone, you know, which I don't think Chip will be gone. I think Chip will stay. You just start worrying like, oh, my God, you know, they need to blow this whole thing up and start over. So do I have, you know, from a player's perspective, do I have a job? You know?
Right.
So it's very unnerving. And
it's hard because it's not just one area of the team.
No. You know,
I was jokingly thinking to myself, Steve, last night I was watching the game again on the DVR and thinking, you know what, the 49ers need a closer. Just like the San Francisco Giants needed a closer. They went out and got Melanson, and now they think all of their problems are solved, and maybe they are. But with the 49ers, they can't just go get one guy because they don't close games.
No.
It's not like baseball where you have a closer. There is no closer.
No. One person can't affect a football game like they can in baseball or basketball.
Right.
No, I mean, for the most part, a Montana or a Brady can affect it like that.
Right. Well, that's true. I need to draft one of those guys.
Those are special.
Yeah.
They don't come along every day.
No, exactly. And that's the thing, when you look at the draft, because right now the 49ers would be right up there, you know, with Cleveland as far as the top two picks. There's nobody that you think jumps out that's a great quarterback, you know?
No, but and you know, that's people keep saying, oh, you know, let's just lose them all so we get the first pick. You know, when you get a quarterback, I'm like, no. Let's get the first pick so that we can trade it and get, like, four more.
Right, exactly. Right.
Because quarterback's not going to help us right now.
Or maybe they – I mean, I've thought about maybe they trade for, like, a Jimmy Garoppolo or something because, you know, I think the Patriots are going to trade him. Or somebody who's a good backup somewhere. You know, a Nick Foles or somebody who wants a starting job, but who knows?
But Jimmy Garoppolo in the Patriots offense, you know, as opposed to this offense,
different. Yeah.
You need somebody that can play in this offense,
right? It's different, right? You
know, give me Mariota.
Right, he's great. So. He's playing great this year.
Yeah, he is.
Speaking of quarterbacks that are playing great, Matt Ryan. Playing the 49ers on Sunday, and 30 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And this guy, I mean, he made that mistake against Kansas City, but he hasn't made too many mistakes this year.
No,
that was on
isn't.
That two-point conversion. He's going to be tough in Atlanta in the Georgia Dome, and they're going to be pumped up because they're trying to get in the playoff position. So another game that's not easy for the Niners.
And guess who his offensive coordinator is?
The Falcons offensive coordinator. I'm trying to remember now.
Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, Kyle Shanahan. So maybe they could talk to
speaking
Kyle
of,
and
speaking
Dan.
Of someone being
a possible Niners coach. Yeah.
Exactly. if Mike is involved.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that Kyle was the offensive coordinator there. That's right.
I mean, anyway.
They're not the great defense there, but he's got it
not
rolling.
That's not going to be easy to go down there and play them this week. I mean, Falcons are pretty good.
Yeah, they got so many weapons on that team.
Yeah, Matty Ice, he could be slinging it all over the place.
Yeah, and they've got Freeman as the running back, and the 49ers again. They just couldn't. This is a backup running back because Forte went out with a knee injury, and they couldn't stop Bilal Powell. I mean, he had 145 yards.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. He ran. Talk about running hard. Holy mackerel, he was. You know, like a human projectile a couple times, just, you know, launching himself in there.
He was. Oh, by the way, what did you think of Bryce Petty as the Jets quarterback?
Pretty good. I mean, I liked his delivery. You know, he stayed high on the ball. I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, he had a hell of it. 23 for 35. If we could all be 23 for 35 every week, we'd be happy.
He's got a great arm.
Yeah, he does. I thought he threw some nice balls and a couple nice balls on the run. That one that you were referring to in the fourth quarter,
might have
even been the overtime, where he scrambled out left and threw that ball to Anderson down the sideline.
Yeah, that was a great play.
Pretty nice. I mean, nice catch, but heck of a throw for on the run.
Yeah, that was. Oh, yeah, he was rolling left and he threw right. Yeah, those are not easy.
No, he launched it.
Kaepernick made a play like that a couple of years ago. That was kind of similar, sort of.
Yeah. No, he Bryce Petty. I thought he looked pretty good.
And by the way, also
like a pretty good sized guy.
He is.
I don't remember him being. I don't remember him looking that tall and stout in college.
No, but, I don't remember that
either.
Really.
I can't say that. I mean, I've seen him play, but I can't say I've seen him play a lot. You know, I think I saw him beat up on UCLA in a bowl game.
Never a bad thing. No, kidding.
Yeah.
He looks like Jets future quarterback.
Yeah.
Before we finish up with 3 weeks to go in the season, what do you think about each conference? Just who could come out of it and be in the Super Bowl? Because there's so many contenders this year. It looked like the Cowboys were invincible, but then they lose to the Giants. I still like them getting there to the Super Bowl. And then, you know, obviously New England with Brady and everything, and they don't look very vulnerable except for maybe injuries. But I like Kansas City because they seem to be on a roll.
Would love to see Alex get an opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm obviously a big fan of Alex's, and would love to see that.
He played great in that game against the Raiders, especially in the first half.
Sure did.
Yeah.
My favorite moment was him smiling on the sideline when that kid ran the punt back. Like, because Alex doesn't usually show too much emotion.
Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, I was talking about it the other day, I think he's the most exciting player in the NFL. Every time he touches the ball, he can score.
Yeah, yeah. We had and he's reminding me of I just drew a blank on his name. He was our
49ers return?
No. Or? When I was in Kansas City, he was.
Oh, was it Dante Hall? No.
No.
He was another guy who was exciting. That's right. He would be too young.
Totally drew a blank on his name. But he was our punt returner, kickoff returner, and he had. He must have had a half a dozen punt or kickoff returns for touchdown in the one season of 95.
Love those kind of guys.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. God, and he was just
like a Hester
strong.
Kind of guy.
He was strong as an ox and could run like the wind. Why am I, God,
the
totally,
escapability. I can't even think of who you're talking about. But
I'm gonna text it to you later when it comes.
Yeah,
to me.
I want to know what it is because you know what that brings back memories. Because I actually think, Steve, when I was a kid, I think my favorite player, you know, other than you know the big names like the Joe Namath of the world and the you know, quarterbacks and all that, was Billy White Shoes Johnson. Because
when he was
on those highlights and he did that dance, that was just so much fun to watch. The guy was spectacular.
Yeah. But getting back to your question, yeah, in the AFC, I mean, you got obviously New England's good, Kansas City's good,
yeah.
Raiders are good.
They could all be there.
They could all be there. I think Kansas City has, I don't know where they're ranked, but Kansas City's defense is pretty darn good.
I'm looking at it. They haven't given up many points. Yeah,
they got a real chance. NFC, yeah, obviously you talked about Dallas.
Maybe a team like the Giants comes out of there?
The Giants, I would never rule out Eli, you know, even though he can throw, you know, a bunch of interceptions in a game. But, man, come playoff time, he's been money. Seattle seems to be inconsistent.
But if they're at home somehow, they're going to win.
The NFC, it's probably going to be somebody out of the NFC East just because they're all bunched up there.
Yeah. Yeah, Washington's having a decent season.
Washington beat Philly last week. Let me think. From the North, maybe if Aaron – you know, continues on a roll now after this last week.
Right, and I don't know what Stafford's condition is because he messed up his hand. So.
Oh, did he? He's had a nice year.
Yeah, he's had a really good year, but I don't know how healthy he's going to be here.
I don't know either.
We'll see. It's going to be fun to watch the next 3 weeks.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers game in Atlanta. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.